بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 12th of August in the year 2019 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 10th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu and the night prior I've reached a stage where I've mentioned that due to his looking after his first beloved wife the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam Sayyidina Luqayyah who was very ill he missed the battle of Badr and as he was tending to his beloved wife radiyallahu anha and the battle of Badr was fought and won by the believers his wife passed away so he felt a double tragedy that he's missed the battle of Badr and he's also lost his relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam but then I mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not only gave him a share of the spoils he gave his own share of spoils to him and he said it is as if you have participated in the battle of Badr But then obviously he grieved because he's lost his relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then I mentioned that Sayyida Hafsa, our beloved mother, her first husband, Sayyidina Khunais radiyallahu anhu, who fought in Badr and Uhud, he also passed away. So Umar radiyallahu anhu was now thinking who could be the second husband of his widowed daughter. So he first approached Sayyidina Uthman. And Uthman thought about the situation and he says مَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَتَزَوَّجَ يَوْمِ هَذَا I do not want to get married at present meaning I've just lost رُقَيَّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ I'm grateful you thought of me but please excuse me so then the report mentions that Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ then asked Abu Bakr would you marry my daughter And Abu Bakr didn't even say anything. He just gave a glazed look. And then later the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, married Hafsa. And Abu Bakr Siddiq said in Sahih Bukhari, the only thing which prevented me from giving you a reply was that I had heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make a mention of your daughter. And I thus did not wish to reveal the secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now there's another report which adds vital details. In Hakim in his Mustadrak 4-49, Sahih. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib rahmatullah alayh, he said, Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu's wife, Sayyida Luqayyah radiyallahu anha, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, passed away. And the husband of Hafsa ibn Umar, bint Umar radiyallahu anhu, also passed away at the same time. Umar radiyallahu anhu thereupon came to Uthman radiyallahu anhu and said, Would you like to marry my daughter Hafsa radiyallahu anhu? However, Uthman radiyallahu anhu had heard Rasulullah speaking of her, thus he did not answer him. Umar later mentioned this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, How about a better idea? I will marry Hafsa and Uthman radiyallahu anhu can marry someone better than Hafsa. My second daughter, Umm Kulthum, radiyallahu, subhanallah. So this adds a detail. So in this Sahih hadith in Hakim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar, a better man will marry your daughter, better than Uthman, myself. So Umar, look at the humility of Umar, obviously he didn't consider it that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would marry his daughter. That's why he didn't approach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who would dare to approach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But the Prophet himself says, I will marry your daughter. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an Uthman will marry a better woman than your daughter. I, my daughter, Umm Kulthum, radiyallahu anha. And in another report, the wording is this. When Umar radiyallahu anhu complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about Uthman not accepting the proposal, the Holy Prophet remarked sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Umar radiyallahu anhu, do not worry, for Hafsa radiyallahu anha shall be married to someone better than Uthman, i.e. my blessed self, And Uthman shall marry a better woman than Hafsa, i.e. his final daughter who was left unmarried after Fatima, Sayyidah Umm Kulthum radiyallahu. This is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Bayhaqi Abu Ya'la Ibn Hibban, Qanzul Umal, Volume 5, page 120, Ayat al-Sahaba, Volume 4, page 273 of the New English Translation. So look how beautiful the whole scenario was. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Hafsa. So now these marriages aren't normal. This is very important to highlight. So what do I mean, not normal? Normally, a person has his own interests, his own likings and the rest of it. The Holy Prophet's only doing things under divine supervision. So when he approached Umar and he said, I will marry your daughter. Who had told the Prophet to marry his daughter? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows the status of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And when the Prophet gave his daughter, second daughter to Uthman, who told him to give his second daughter to Uthman? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So from this you realize the status of Umar and Uthman radiallahu anhu. Allah ta'ala was arranging marriages of the Holy Prophet's family into these august families radiallahu ta'ala. Thus, subhanAllah, it came to pass that our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself married Hafsa radiallahu anhu. And Uthman radiallahu anhu, who went on to marry the second most beautiful and beloved daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidah Umm Kulthum radiallahu anhu. So putting it very simply, his first wife was Ruqayyah radiallahu anhu. When she passed away, his second wife was Umm Kulthum radiallahu anhu. Now why is that important to highlight? Because we are forbidden to marry two sisters at the same time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Nisa, this is forbidden to you. So a person goes, well, how can Uthman marry two sisters? It wasn't at the same time. The first sister passed away, then he married the second daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved Messenger approached Uthman, adding details. In Ibn Asakir, is Mursal, Ma'riful Ahadith, Volume 4, page 408 to 409 of the New English Translation. Ibn Majah, number 110. Relates a shorter but similar narration on the authority of Abu Huraira. However, it is da'if due to Uthman ibn Khalid in his chain. So simply put, this narration has weakness. Through one chain is mursal, meaning the Sahaba's name is missing from the chain. In the other chain, you've got a complete chain, but there's a weak narrator called Uthman ibn Khalid. But it's not so weak as not to relate. So Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, so what's happened? So far, the Prophet, who was he talked to? He talked to Umar. So at this point, is Uthman aware that he's married, he's going to marry the second daughter? No. So keep that in mind. He doesn't know. Umar knows. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib rahmatullah alayhi said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he met Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. He was suffering from intense grief. He said to him, Ma sha'nuka ya Uthman? What is wrong with you, O Uthman radiyallahu anhu? He answered, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Has anyone faced a tragedy as I have? Your daughter, my wife, has passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be merciful to her. My back is thus now broken from grief, and my relationship with you as your son-in-law has ceased with this. So stop in the report. So this shows why he was grieving. He goes, I've lost my relationship with you. He goes, how many people can say that? I'm the only one. He goes, your daughter, may Allah bless her, has passed away. My back's broken. Rasulullah thereupon said to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ataqulu dhalika ya Uthman? Is it truly as you say, O Uthman? In other words, maybe you're saying with emotion because you're trying to comfort me. But are you truly saying this from your heart? He answered, E wallah, Aquluhu ya Rasulullah, fabainama huwa yuhawiru. Indeed, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as I say on oath, ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now in the Arabic, he's using very powerful words. He goes, E wallah. So in English, you can't translate that really. It basically means, by God, there's no doubt. Right? So when a person says that in English, by God, there's no doubt about it. Then he said, it is as I say on oath, I swear the qasam, by God, those words are from my heart. Just as he was saying this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Uthman, radiyallahu, here is Jibreel, alayhi salatu wasalam. He has arrived with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I should marry my daughter Ruqayya's sister Umm Kulthum to you with the same dowry and conditions as were agreed for Ruqayya. Congratulations. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon married Umm Kulthum to Uthman. Class. Didn't hire a whole lot. Get a helicopter, right? Class. Finish. Right? So now, what's interesting? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he was talking to Uthman, who was standing next to him? Jibreel. Uthman couldn't see it. This is why the Prophet is talking. And he's saying, you saying that? And he knew obviously you're saying it from the heart. But you get the impression that he's totally oblivious to the fact that the archangel's next to Rasulullah. And then he told him, he goes, here's Jibreel. He has arrived with whose command? Rabbul Alameen. And he says to me, give your second daughter to him on the same dowry and the same conditions as you gave your first daughter. He goes, congratulations. So who was the first to congratulate? Rasulullah. And who arranged? Manana Sahib, right? The Holy Prophet. Marriage is a very simple matter. You know, people think, if you actually go through the Islamic marriage, you'll notice something very, it's actually quite humorous. The nikah is the marriage. And what you'll notice is they'll do the nikah and that'll take just a few minutes. And then it goes, yeah, it's done. But now we're going to do the marriage. What they actually mean by that is, now it's time for the bakwas. Right? The marriage is done. If you want to splash thousands, then it's your problem. Once I came into the masjid here and somebody gave me a canned drink. And he goes, brother, take a drink. So, jazakallah khair, brother. He goes, what's the occasion? He goes, oh, it's a walima. So, in my heart, because I'm so used to the bakwas, I thought, walima, what sort of a walima is this? But then I thought, astaghfirullah, look at that. You know, I'm so used to the rubbish that even I'm thinking it. I go, mashallah, brother. And he was clever. Why? Because he's giving the food and drink to people who are praying. You don't feel shaitans. Imagine any biggest drug dealer inviting him. What's he going to do with your food? Bless your daughter-in-law, mashallah. And what happens? Next day, Maulana Sahib got problems. Right? So here, Uthman was given the second daughter. Despite this narration having a weakness with regards to his chain of narrators, it is confirmed through other reports. For instance, in Dar-Qutni, Ibn Asakir, Ibn Adi, Marif al-Ahadith, volume 4, page 409 of the New English Translation, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَوْحَى إِلَيَّ أَنْ أَزَوِّجَ قَرِيمَتَيَّ مِنْ عُثْمَانِ. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through revelation, that I should marry both my noble daughters to Uthman. Karimatayn, that means the two noble ones. Qurani Kareem, the noble Quran, right? In English, you lose all the majesty. So he called his daughters the noble ones. He goes, I've been commanded by Allah to give my two noble daughters to Uthman. Obviously, after one passed away. Thus, subhanAllah, the unique title was bestowed upon Uthman, Dhul Nurin, the possessor of two lights. That's his unique title. Nobody in history, human history, has ever had that. He's the only one. Dhul Nurin, the possessor of two lights. So now, this title that was given to him, the scholars are not quite sure the full meaning of it. So the obvious meaning is, he's married two daughters of the Prophet. There's no doubt about that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But has he got other meanings? The gallant commander Al-Muhallab ibn Abi Sufra. So now, be honest, what does that mean to you? Al-Muhallab ibn Abi Sufra. Your blogs. So this is a problem. So he's going to mention something here, but let me just mention something about him first. Who is this man? Al-Muhallab ibn Abi Sufra, rahmatullah alayh, was the one who entered India during the Khalifah of Muawiyah, radiyallahu. So he brought Islam to our lands. Do you know that? Do you know who brought Islam to your lands? Wasn't Trump, right? Astaghfirullah. During the Khalifah of Muawiyah, and he was also made a governor later by Amir al-Mu'mineen Abdullah ibn Zubair, radiyallahu anhu. So he was very close to Muawiyah. He trusted him, and he launched a campaign into India. And later on, when Abdullah ibn Zubair became the Khalif, he made him a governor. He also fought the Khawarij during the Khalifah of Abd al-Malik ibn Marwan. And he was once again a governor of Khorasan in 79 AH. He passed away in 83 AH. Referred to Hafiz Zahabi in his Siyar 4-383. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him. Ameen. So now, that's like a paragraph CV of this man. So he's a commander basically. He's talking, not chip shop owner, right? He said, somebody asked him, because why was Uthman called Dhul Nurin? So Al-Muhallab ibn Abi Sufra rahmatullah alayhi said, because it is not known that anyone let down a curtain in privacy to be alone with two daughters of a prophet, except he. Because it is not known that anyone let down a curtain in privacy to be alone with two daughters of a prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, except he. Where is this recorded? Hafiz Aini in his Umdatul Qadi 16-201 and Qadi Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi in his Al-Wasim min al-Qawasim. So what's the references again? Umdatul Qadi, Hafiz Aini was a hadith master. A hadith master. He was a Hanafi. Now that's interesting. Why? Because the Hanafis are more known for the fiqh. They're fiqhi giants. Hadith scholars are mainly Shafis and Hanbalis, but he was a hadith master. He wrote a commentary of Sahih Bukhari, and it went into about 30, 40, 50 volumes. It's called Umdatul Qari. Now, why did he write that? Because the Shafi giants, Hafiz ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahmatullah alayh, he wrote a commentary of Bukhari called Fath al-Bari. And Fath al-Bari is very famous, probably the most famous commentary of Bukhari. Hafiz Aini says, I'm going to do one. But with the Hanafi understanding, he called it Umdatul Qari. That they were having that challenge, but they weren't challenging over bricks and mortar and how much money have you got in your bank. They were challenging over the deen, which is a good thing. So imagine, this is what they were doing in those days, not what people challenging over. His drive is better than my driveway, right? Astaghfirullah. So in Umdatul Qari, volume 16, page 201, this is recorded. So what was the reason given by the gallant commander? It is that he had privacy with two daughters of a prophet. Nobody else had that honor. Another meaning. In Bayhaqi 7-73, Hassan Hussein al-Ju'fi rahmatullah alayhi said, no one else was ever married to two daughters of a prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, from the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, until Qiyamah strikes, except Sayyidina Uthman, radiyallahu. Hence he was called Dhul Nurin. Think about that. 124,000 prophets. Has any man married two daughters of any of the prophets? No. So that's incredible, you're thinking. It must be. Hussein al-Ju'fi says, no, never happened. Of course, they married the daughters, but they weren't given the honor of marrying two daughters of a prophet. They might have married the granddaughter like some of the other sahaba, but not two daughters. That was reserved by Allah the Almighty for Uthman. Now think about that. Allah Ta'ala was honoring Uthman before Adam was placed on the earth. He was reserving the honor for him. So when he was given the second daughter, it wasn't a small thing. It was like a present Allah Ta'ala was giving, you know, leaving for Uthman. They say, look, I've arranged this marriage. And you are the only one in human history who's been given this honor. And not only has he married two daughters of a prophet, which prophet? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there was another reason. Another reason why this beautiful title was given to this most worthy man was that Uthman radiyallahu anhu used to recite a great deal of the Quran in Salat every night. And the Quran is a light. So is Tahajjud. So he was called Dhul Nurain because of that. Because he was always doing Tahajjud and he used to finish Qurans off in Tahajjud like we say a packet of crisps, right? You know, he'd just be going, right? You know, he's doing, and he called him this, the possessor of two lights. Referred to Abbas al-Aqad in his Uthman ibn al-Affan Dhul Nurain, page 79. So this is another reason he was called the possessor of two lights. Meaning he possessed the Quran and he possessed the Hajjud. Now where's the proof that they're two lights? Where's the honor in the Hajjud and the Quran? In Bayhaqi, Ibn Abi Dunya, number 6337, Shaykh Albani rahmatullah alayhi authenticates it in Sahih al-Targhib, number 628. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ashrafu ummati hamalatul Qur'ani wa ashabul lil. Subhanallah. The nobles of my ummah are the carriers of the Quran and the companions of the night. Even in English, you see some eloquence. Ashraf, what does Ashraf mean? Even in Urdu, what does Ashraf, those of you who speak Urdu, what does Ashraf mean? No. Ashraf means noble. Right? In Arabic, it means noble. So, Ashrafu Ummati, what did the Prophet say? He goes, the true knights, the true dames, the true lords and ladies of this Ummat. Not bothered about what queen does with their sword. Stick it in it, right? Astaghfirullah. Not bothered about that. What are you? How are you honoring me? One goes to toilets honoring me. I've got a toilet like you. Right? So, the Prophet said, Ashrafu Ummati. Meaning, these are the ones honored, these are the true that you show respect to. Imagine if a knight walked in night, he's saying, is it? Who gives a monkey's me, sir? Find out next day he's been like Jimmy Savile. What happened to his title? Sir Jimmy Savile. Queen knighted him, and what did they find out? But he pedophile, astaghfirullah. So the Prophet said, Ashrafu Ummati, the knights, dames of my ummat, there's two signs. Hamalatul Quran. Hamala means carrying the Quran. It doesn't mean hafiz. So what does it mean? They carry the Quran. It doesn't mean that. It means that they're well versed in the Quran. You turn to them and they'll give you the understanding of the Quran. They're carrying the Quran. What's the second sign? Wa ashabul lil. They're the companions of the night. Why? Playing poker. Right? No. What does it mean, companions of the night? It means that they love the night because they're doing tahajjud. So this is an authentic hadith from who? From the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Question. What did I just mention about Uthman? Some scholars say he's a possessor of two lights. Why? Because he was going through the Quran in tahajjud. Like we eat poppadoms. So what did the Prophet say? He's ashraf. So now think about that. People say, where's the awliyas? What are the signs of the awliyas? Apply that. He goes, do they carry the Quran? I don't get you, brother. What do you mean to carry Quran? Or do you just carry in Ramadan? Two khatams. Right? And what about tahajjud? Special nights, brother. That's about it. And there you go. These are the ones that the Prophet goes, they're the ashraf. Subhanallah, what about the in-laws of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The status of the in-laws of Rasulullah is immense, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because he told us, I beg my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to grant me that if anyone marries into my family, or whom my family marries, will be with me in paradise. And he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, accepted my plea. Subhanallah. So where is this recorded? Hakim in his Mustadrak 3-137, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih, Tabarani in his Awsat, Ibn Asakir, Harith Ibn Abi Usama, number 1011, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'i 10-17, comments upon Tabarani's chain of narrators. So simply put, this is a flawless report. Imam Hakim graded it authentic, Hafiz Zahabi graded it authentic, Hafiz Haythami found something wrong with Tabarani's chain, but that's not Hakim's. So anyway, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? I was making dua. I was begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For what? I was begging him, if anybody marries into my family, or my family marries, that they be with me in Jannah. Now where's the Prophet in Jannah? Has he scraped in? Astaghfirullah. He's got Maqam al Mahmud. He's got that unique status, the highest grade. The Prophet is saying, if anybody becomes my in-laws, Ya Allah, please, just by your grace, let them be with me in Firdaus. Did Allah Ta'ala answer that dua? Yes. So who was given that twice? Think about that. You know, people say, oh, what's the virtues of Uthman? I don't know, brother, but he's his son-in-law twice. Then he goes, yeah, but that's not his virtues. He just got married to the Prophet's daughters. They don't understand. You have to explain it to them. Because they think that just marriage is just like a, well, that's just marriage. What did he do? But there you go, innit? Don't you realize that the marriages of the Prophet's family isn't normal marriage? Allah Ta'ala is arranging it. Why? Because he's handpicking people for Firdaus. That's his, not your marriage. You know, you're just worried about, oh, is it character? Is it, right? You know, Allah Ta'ala doesn't need to, because he knows exactly. He's handpicking. Now look at the status of Rasulullah. Look how much Allah Ta'ala loves him. Because anybody who marries into you, they are that honored in my sight. They're going to be with you in Jannah. That's why they were dying to be with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think about that. Similarly, Hafiz ibn Abd al-Barr, he confirmed in Al-Istiyab and Qadi Abu Bakr ibn al-Arabi in his Al-Wasim min al-Qawasim, it is established that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I asked my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala that none of my in-laws would enter the fire or go into it. This was answered. I asked my Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala that none of my in-laws would enter the fire or go to it. It was answered. This is another hadith. They guarantee Firdaus. They will not go near the fire. Allah Ta'ala answered that as well. Similarly, proving it further, in Ibn Asakir, in his Ar-Da'in, number 36, on the memorable qualities of the mothers of the believers, he states Hassan. So now what's all this about? Arba'in, it means the 40. Why did many of the scholars, and they still do, write a compilation of 40 hadiths? Anybody know? Why not 50? Why not 100? There's a virtue. The virtue of the hadith mentions, whoever of you memorizes 40 hadiths, he will be raised with the scholars on the day of resurrection, or something to that nearest meaning. So there's a virtue in it. So many of the scholars wrote 40s, but they had that much knowledge of the hadiths, they thought, right, we'll write 40 hadiths about one thing. So one scholar would write about the virtues of the Quran, 40 hadiths, arba'in. Another would say, 40 virtues on Salat al-Nabi, arba'in, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 40 hadiths on the virtues of business. Ibn Asakir, what was his arba'in on? The memorable qualities of Ummul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believers. Number 36, he states, this hadith is Hassan. What does it say? Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La yadkhulun nara man tazawwaja ilay aw tazawwajtu ilay. He will not enter the fire who allied himself to me through marriage or to whom I ally myself through marriage. If somebody approaches me, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and I give any one of my family members in marriage, they guarantee paradise. They won't go to the fire. Or if I give, who narrates it? Hazrat Ali from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because he's one of them. Now this is also a very important hadith. People don't even reflect upon these hadiths. The Rawafid, right? They, what do they say about the mothers of the believers? They said they're not Ahlul Bayt. That's number one. Secondly, they say horrific things about them. These narrations destroy their belief. Why? There is a critical difference between the mothers of the believers and the wives of the other holy prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, who were not given this guarantee. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, for me, anybody marries into me, or I get in married, just for me this was given. So all of the women who married the Prophet, what they guaranteed? Firdaus. Because of the Prophet's statement. Is that guarantee for the other Prophet's wives? No. Read Surah Tahreem. In Surah Tahreem, Surah 66, Allah the Almighty and Glorious mentions two Prophet's wives. Because they're kafirs. Imagine, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's wife, she's an unbeliever. Lut, alayhi salatu wasalam's wife, is an unbeliever. Read that surah. The Prophet goes, I can't. It's in Quran, brother. Nuh, alayhi salatu wasalam, Lut, they're mighty prophets. But guess what? Both their wives were kafirs. So what do the Rawafid do? They use that. They go, so what's special about prophets' wives then? Why do you respect Aisha so much? Quran is telling you they're kafirs amongst them. So you respond by saying, have you equated the holy prophet's wives with his brother's wives? And if they say yes, think about that. You say, they're not like the other prophet's wives. They've been given a guarantee. So this is so important for you to understand. They play these games. Astaghfirullah. This should not come as a surprise. Why? Because in Kanzul Umal, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I did not marry any woman, nor did I get any of my daughters married, except on account of revelation, which Jibreel brought from my Lord. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet is telling you something about himself, not his brothers. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Think about it. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's wife was a kafir. Did Allah Ta'ala sanction that? Never. Allah Ta'ala would never allow an unbeliever to be the wife of a prophet. So how did the marriage take place? Because it happened. You understand? It happened. There's no protection there from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But our beloved messenger, Allah Ta'ala, refused that. So he's telling you something here. He's saying, these people, you have got nothing in your heart against them. Because if you got something in your heart against them, who have you got something against? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like you're saying this. Ya Allah, why did you pick Aisha for the Prophet? Who the hell are you to ask that question? You think about that. Why did you pick Hafsa to be the Prophet's wife? Who the hell are you, brother? Astaghfirullah. Right? So again, very important things. The Prophet goes through revelation. This took place. So when he gave his two daughters to Uthman, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was actually given the two daughters? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And guess what? The Rawafid say Uthman was a munafiq. Think about it. You don't have to go very far into his life to work out how swerved, how deviant these people are. You don't even have to go. Just the marriage, brother. How do you explain the marriage? He married two daughters of the Prophet. So what? That's what they say. So what? Because they want you to think, what's marriage got to do with anything? You're right. But these aren't normal marriages. And who says they're not normal? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, endless priceless honors for the most deserving, Sayyidina Uthman radiyallahu anhu. Now think about this. Abu Bakr wasn't given the honor. Wasn't he the greatest sahaba? Yes. Allah Ta'ala didn't give him two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who's the next greatest sahaba? Umar radiyallahu anhu. Did Allah Ta'ala give him that honor? He gave him another honor. He married the granddaughter of the Prophet. But he's not married two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ali radiyallahu anhu. He was given an honor. He married the daughter and the granddaughter of the Prophet later on. But he didn't marry two daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala handpicked Uthman. Think about that. There's something special about Sayyidina Uthman that we will never really truly understand. Only Allah Ta'ala knows what's the secrets in the hearts. When you read Surah Mulk, you should read it every night. If you don't, then God help you, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah ya'alamu man khalaq wa huwa al-latiful khabir. Isn't that in Surah Mulk? Allah ya'alamu man khalaq wa huwa al-latiful khabir. What does that mean? Has he who created everything, doesn't he know the secrets of the hearts? Allah Ta'ala is telling you something there. He goes, I created everything. Allah ya'alam wa huwa al-latiful, the subtleties. He is the subtle, he is the aware. He is the subtle, he knows the secrets. And that mighty being gave two daughters of the Prophet to Uthman. So for us, we think if he must have been something else in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is his honorable title, Dhul Nurain radiyallahu anhu. So all I mentioned today was basically now the tragic passing of the first wife of Sayyidina Uthman, the beloved daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyida Ruqayya radiyallahu, who was 20 years old when she passed away. And she's buried in Jannat al-Baqi. And then I mentioned now that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives his second daughter, Kulthum, to Uthman. And what does that signify? It's not a normal thing. Right? It signifies Allah Ta'ala was keeping this unique honor for this great man. He deserved it radiyallahu. And exposing the Rawafid myths, clearly showing that their beliefs are totally in contradiction to the Quran and Sunnah. Astaghfirullah. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصل بالحق ورواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم